Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It's great to be with you. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And I would appreciate it if you'd take a moment and register your attendance on the pads that are provided. To highlight a few of the announcements today, Wednesday, April 9th, Chase will have a seminar, Wednesday night seminar. Isn't it great to be a Methodist? And there's information in the bulletin about that. And also, April the 13th is a UMW bake sale. It's Palm Sunday. The UMW, this is their major fundraiser, and the money that they receive from your purchases go to missions not only locally but around the world. And I know you'll want to support them. And also, don't forget, Asbury's Got Talent silent auction. There's information in your bulletin about that. It's on May the 4th. And if you have something you'd like to donate for the auction, we would certainly appreciate it. This morning, you will notice that there's a rose on the altar, and it celebrates the birth of Emma Kate to Jamie and Dusty Jones. So we celebrate with them and so happy for them. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another. Stand, would you join with me in the call to worship? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. What shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Hymn number 372, How Can We Sinners Know, a wonderful text by Charles Wesley. We will be singing this to a different tune, a little more familiar tune. I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord, is the name of the tune we'll be singing.
Thank you.
printed on your bulletin this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning? You have a spot? Here, why don't y'all come sit over here, Jack? And Drew, why don't you come sit next to Jack? Very good. Well, I am so excited to see y'all this morning. Are y'all doing okay? Good. I am sure that most of y'all have done some kind of sports activity. Right? Right? Soccer? Gone outside and played? What happens when you are thirsty? You come in and you want what? Water. Because you know, water, right, will make you not thirsty, correct? But you know, as you go into the grocery store and you're hunting for something to drink, there are all kinds of like sports drinks and energy drinks and all kinds of things at the grocery store, right? Okay, well, you know what? There is one certain sports drink, and it's their statement is, it's better than water, juice, or any other drink. It gives your body what it is thirsty for. It gets you going and keeps you going. Do you know what that might be? What? Say it again. Gatorade, that is correct. I have to have Gatorade. So, Gatorade. But you know what about Gatorade? It doesn't say in there that it's not going to quench your thirst, does it? It just says that it keeps it going and going. And so I was thinking about being thirsty and thinking about water and Gatorade. But you know what? There is something that we thirst for all the time. Do you know what that is? Who? Soda. But you know what? Who do we thirst for? Who does our heart thirst for? Jesus. Jesus talks several times in the Bible about living water. And it's not living water that you can get from a water bottle or from a Gatorade. But it's living water. What we thirst for is what we want from Him. Because He satisfies our heart. That's right. And so as you go through, as we get into the summer and all of that, and you drink some water and you drink some Gatorade, remember that the big part of our living water is Jesus, because He wants to be in our heart. All right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, You have given us Jesus, the living water. May we drink of that living water so we never thirst again. Amen. Thank you.
As we go to God in prayer, there's some additions to our prayer list this morning. We want to remember Robert Broyles. He's in Baptist Medical Center. Darren and Jacob Wagner were in an auto accident Friday. They're doing well. They're at home. And we want to remember Laura Stinnett's mother, Mary Martha. Mary Martha will be having some tests run next week. And also, we want to keep Jamie and Dusty in our prayers as they start their life with a new family. So let's go to God in prayer. Merciful and loving God, in your wisdom, you set aside a day of worship and rest for us. If left to ourselves, we would have used this day like any other, thinking we didn't have time to make it special. But you've called us apart to be refreshed in body and spirit, mind. To gather our families and friends around us and to be together with fellow believers. We thank you. We stumble and fall. We break our word. We recoil from obligations. Oftentimes we do things that are not right. We pray in church, but we're too busy at home. We read scriptures here, but we crowd them out at home with the internet and TV. So, dear God, we confess that we're fragile and oftentimes incapable of the courage to live as your people. Help us mend our ways. Through the observance of Lent, we turn our eyes once again towards the cross, and we're confronted with the incredible sacrifice and love Christ has for us. We're thirsty. We're thirsty for the living water He provides. This morning, help us accept the challenge and commitment of His way of life. And help us to reflect His way of life in our lives as we prepare for the week that's coming up. As we've lifted up names of people and situations which lay on our hearts today, dear God, we need your healing touch. And we stand continually in need of your healing and mercy. Bring us to you with open and repentant hearts. And we thank you for your loving care. All these things we pray in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, will deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. There are many ways, many opportunities to observe the Lenten season. We can do it by self-denial, daily prayer, Bible study. Some of us have given up the occasional indulgence, such as chocolate, ice cream, or donuts. Others choose to offer up daily prayer. All of these activities are important to enhance our spirituality. There is an additional way that we can observe Lent and help others in the process. One of the many opportunities is provided through our Lenten and Easter offering to God as a testament to the many ways that He's blessed our lives and that we can bless the lives of others. Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the privilege of giving in your name. Transform our simple offering into ministries that quench parched lives with the water of eternal life. Nurture our need to share your water and your spirit through the gifts that you've given us so freely. We pray this in the name of the one who is the Messiah. Amen.
Hymn number 362, Nothing But the Blood.
we continue in our series, Cries from the Cross, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, as we hear and read together God's holy word from the 28th verse of John's chapter 19. May the people of God be enriched by this hearing and reading of God's holy word. After this, knowing that all was now finished, Jesus said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." The word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. More. That's one of the first words a child learns as they wish to indicate that they're still hungry or they're still thirsty. There's not a one of us in this room or hearing my voice that does not know what it feels like to be very thirsty. Indeed, it's one of the things we basic human beings have as our needs. And we know that our bodies cannot survive without life-giving water. And we also realize it's not an enjoyable experience to just sit there for any length of time and be thirsty. When have you found yourself to be most thirsty? After exercising, maybe doing a little bit of yard work for a period of time, perhaps the sun beating down on you. Maybe those moments right before surgery or right after surgery. I can remember one of the thirstiest times in my life when I experienced thirst that really took a toll. And that was during marching band practice. We would go every afternoon after school at 4 o'clock and practice on the Piggly Wiggly grocery store parking lot, asphalt absorbing the sun's rays. You see, I'm already getting delusional thinking about it. And there we were, standing at attention. And our band director's name was Ron Allen. And we were known as Allen's Marines because he would work us and work us and work us to where he was assured that we would walk away with the sweepstakes all the way across the board of ratings number one. On one particular afternoon, my best friend, Angela, that was in line with me, holding her flute as I was holding my flute, standing at attention, loves to tell this story, that out of the corner of her eye, after we had been standing at attention for quite a while, she saw me suddenly rock back and forth and then to and from, until finally I went kerplunk down. I had fainted, and when I came to, all I could hear was Mr. Allen, "Go on, get up." So I went over to the sidelines where the assistant band director handed me a cup of ice and some salt tablets, of which I was told to consume and get back in line. When our bodies are that thirsty, that deprived, we know that the best thing that we can do is just go find a cool spot somewhere in the shade and sip a glass of water slowly until our bodies are replenished, being hydrated. I share all of that to just say, I don't believe that compares. And I don't believe any time where you can recall being so thirsty can compare with the thirst that our Lord Jesus Christ was experiencing on the cross when he uttered the words, "I thirst." And yet, in typical fashion, look what he did amidst his own personal thirst. He did what he always would do. He took care of the needs of others. To a resistant crowd, he offered forgiveness. To a repentant thief hanging beside him on a cross, he offered that last minute salvation. And to his mother and his dear friend, he asked them to take care of one another. That's the kind of living water Jesus gave and Jesus gives. In a world that has gone thirsty, in a world that has gone thirsty due to its consumption of self, due to its promotion of self, due to its unwillingness to acknowledge the one who is greater, who can help us overcome all of these things and shift the focus off of self onto something far greater. But it takes faith to realize in the first place that we need Jesus. The kind of faith from an outsider, like the woman at the well who was a Samaritan, a pagan, who was a loose woman. The kind of faith that took a woman like that to exercise great courage and to be open in that life that she had lived to want a new life, to accept the living water which would restore her life as God intended it to be. In Matthew 15, we discover yet another woman. She was an outsider from the region of Canaan. Again, a pagan who did not believe in the one true God, Yahweh. And yet, out of her love for her daughter, who had fallen ill, she ran to Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus did not respond to her immediately. And the disciples, they shooed her away. And then Jesus explained to her that he had come to save Israel, not the pagans who did not believe in God. And in her persistent begging, she was willing to liken herself to a dog. And she said, "But Lord, even the dogs are allowed to gather the crumbs under the master's table." And due to her courage, and due to her persistent faith, and due to the fact that she believed that Jesus could indeed heal her daughter, Jesus did just that. He healed her child. And now, much later, we hear Jesus in his own need utter two words, "I thirst." How could the people who knew Jesus, who loved Jesus, take seeing him in those cruel twists of flesh, requesting something so innocent, so meager, yet so vital to relieving just a second of his agony? How could they take it? Even if they were willing to help, they knew that doing so might subject them to suffering. Instead, any desire that they may have felt to reach out and to help Jesus were overwhelmed by the words, the commands of the Roman soldiers saying, "Stay back, stay back." It's interesting, as I was studying this episode that all four Gospels record this. They all four mention that vinegar was offered. But three of them, Matthew, Luke, and John, say the soldiers gave it to him. Matthew, Mark, and Luke imply, however, that when it was offered to him, he refused. I would imagine to feel the full suffering of humankind's sin. And it's also interesting that only John says he received it. But Mark, believed to be the first of all the written Gospels, in his 15th chapter, is the only one that offers this detail, that a bystander took a sponge soaked in vinegar, attached it to a long reed, and offered it to Christ on the cross. It does not say that he received it. Instead, the very next words are, "And he made a loud cry, and he breathed his last." Take just a moment and picture yourself at Calvary. Do that for just a moment in your imagination. You hear the voice of Christ, barely audible amongst the crowd. The gasp of stretched lungs speaking so faintly the words, "I thirst." You have followed him some. You even know a little bit about his teachings. And when you hear these two little words, you think to yourself how hard it is to hear these words from the one who said, "He who follows me shall never thirst." Would you and I have had the courage to be that one that stepped forward, offering some semblance of relief? Knowing that to do so, we put our own lives in jeopardy. Knowing that to do so, we would have to pass by the Roman soldiers and their sharp blades hanging around their waist belt. Knowing that those would be weapons that could easily be used to attack us. It makes you wonder. And yet, apparently, one bystander did just that. Jesus is almost near death at this point. Think with me about what he is witnessing. A brave soul coming to help. Soldiers intimidating anyone who might want to be near or to help. The face of an agonized mother. The overwhelming sadness of a beloved friend and disciple. Cries from the criminals that are hanging just like Jesus on crosses on either side of him. Taunts, unbelievable ridicule from the crowds, and cries from the religious hierarchy who are so jealous they can't see straight. And among their taunts, you hear their fear. "Look, look at it. The world has gone after him." They were right to be fearful. because as we know it, the world would never be the same. Judaism would never be the same. Pentecost would be on the horizon with the resurrected Lord. And the Holy Spirit would be released, and the world would never be the same. And those who truly believe and practice the love of Christ and open themselves to receive and witness the Holy Spirit will never be the same. What is different? What does the world find when we meet Jesus? Well, first of all, we discover we're sinners and we cannot clean up our mess alone. We discover Jesus is the only Son of God, loving us unconditionally, willing to redeem us, asking only that we believe in our resurrected Lord and the power to forgive, to be convicted in that belief and to share that witness. What do we find when we meet Jesus? We find a peace that passeth all understanding, but as Jesus our Lord said, not as the world gives, but as I give. A peace that is not fleeting, but a peace that is lasting and eternal. We find through Jesus the power in prayer and of Christian fellowship and support. We find in Jesus that we are face to face with the living God. Wow. So spiritually thinking, I believe it's a good thing that we thirst. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We are the woman at the well. Maybe not with the same sins, but nonetheless with our own laundry list. We are the woman at the well to whom Jesus spoke the words, "The water I give becomes a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." We are the woman needing to seek more than just surface answers given to us by the preacher or by a Bible study commentator. We are the woman at the well who needs to dig deep into our faith, being honest with ourselves and God. We are the woman who needs to be courageous, asking Jesus for our deepest need, but just as deeply to believe. We are the woman whom Jesus offers a source for which we shall never thirst. So when Jesus said, "I thirst," you know what I think? I think there's something more. I think that those words were prompted looking at all of us and all that were gathered there that day and all the ones yet to live down the road. I think when he said, "I thirst," he was prompted by our thirst. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would invite our congregation to stand and sing our hymn of commitment, "Only Trust Him," 337. We invite you to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, renew that faith, or to come forward and to pray if you so desire as we stand and sing 337. wonderful to be in worship with you. I hope you're thirsty. I hope all this talk about thirst has made you not only physically thirsty, but thirsty to go out there and to share the living water. Please receive the blessing. And now, O God, we thank you for your love, for the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship that we enjoy and communion of your Holy Spirit. May we go forward now in the blessed peace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.